As we continue on with our series on the book of Luke, the good news of the great physician, looking at the birth of God's Son, announced and explained, we continue with a message I started last Sunday on the Holy Child of the Holy Spirit. Upon Gabriel's announcement that the young Virgin Mary would conceive a son while remaining a virgin, she had a very natural and practical question. We saw that last time in verse 34. Mary asked the angel, "How will this be since I am not intimate with a man?" This was a question, as I pointed out last time, not of certainty, but of practicality. Not an expression of unbelieving doubt like Zechariah when he asked, "How will I know this? How can I be convinced of this?" Basically is what he was asking. She was not asking a question of unbelieving doubt like he was. She was asking a question. She was expressing believing curiosity. Very natural curiosity. How will this happen? And in response to Mary's practical question, Gabriel gave her the answer of supernatural conception. In looking at Gabriel's answer last time, we looked at the work of the Holy Spirit in verse 35. Gabriel says, he said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Then we looked at the result of the Holy Child, verse 35 again. "Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And continuing with Gabriel's answer today, we will move on to look at the realization of what God can do. And in response to Gabriel's answer of this supernatural conception, Mary's humble submission. And we should be asking ourselves as we look at this, what do I really believe that God is willing and able to do with me? And how far am I willing to go with Him for Him to do it? So let's read verses 26 through 28 for the last time today. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, 'Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' But she was deeply troubled by this statement and wondering what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary asked the angel, 'How will this be, since I am not intimate with a man?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And look, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'See then, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." And continuing to look at Gabriel's answer to Mary of supernatural conception, in response to her practical question, having looked at the work of the Holy Spirit, having looked at the result of this holy child, we now come to look at the realization of what God can do. In verses 36 and 37. Again, he says to her, "And look, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Gabriel points Mary to Elizabeth as an example of God's miraculous intervention in an impossible situation. We've already looked at their situation, Zechariah's and Elizabeth's, in having John. It was an impossible situation. As her relative, Mary knew full well Elizabeth's impossible situation, but it appears that she did not know about her incredible conception, judging from Gabriel's wording. It seems that he was announcing to Mary, "Your relative Elizabeth is now in her sixth month of her pregnancy. She has conceived in her old age." And his point to her is clear. As you wonder about how this is going to happen, realize, Mary, what has already wonderfully happened for Elizabeth. In her old, beyond childbearing age, she has also conceived a son, and for her who was well known for being barren, for being childless, this is now her sixth month of her pregnancy. Incredible. As you wonder, Mary, how you will conceive in your virgin womb, realize that she has conceived and is now six months into carrying a son in her useless womb. A womb that was as good as dead is now carrying a new life. You know, when we are contemplating and even struggling to comprehend what God is going to do with us, it helps us to look up and around at what God has already done in the lives of others. It helps to see how others have overcome what appeared to have overcome them. It helps to see how others have broken through what should have broken them. It helps to see that what is impossible for others is very possible for God. As we look at what is impossible for us being very possible for God. It helps to see how God has already done the impossible in the life of someone else. And that's why Gabriel pointed Mary to look at Elizabeth. She knew full well the impossibility of Elizabeth's situation, and yet here was Elizabeth, wonderfully pregnant. You know, we can pile up and suffocate ourselves with all of the what-ifs in the world, but nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing around the next bend, nothing over the next hill. There is not an ocean we can't cross. There is no wall, no giant, no army we cannot bring down if we are with God and if God is with us. Nothing will be impossible with God. As one of my commentators says very well, nature can have nothing and the sharpest mind think of nothing that would be impossible for God. He who sets limits to nature holds sway in complete freedom outside of the bounds of nature. Nothing is impossible for him except finding something impossible for him. End quote. Very well said. Mary, as we all should, was to put her faith in and plant her feet on this unshakable bedrock truth. Nothing will be impossible with God. If he can make the old barren woman conceive, Mary, then he can make your young virgin womb conceive. And Mary's response was exemplary. After listening to Gabriel's answer of God's miraculous work in her supernatural conception, we then see Mary's humble submission. Verse 38. And Mary said, "See then, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary presented herself to the Lord for him to do with her as he saw fit. Without negotiation, without condition, without any variation from exactly what Gabriel said, Let it be to me exactly as you have said it, Gabriel, because I am the servant of the Lord. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. His will be done. She completely abandoned herself to the Lord's intention for her, even while being well aware, and this is important for us to realize, even while being well aware that the way forward would be incredibly difficult for her. She abandoned herself to the Lord's intention for her. In contrast to Elizabeth rising above her reproach, Mary would come under heavy reproach. Elizabeth's disgrace was removed, but Mary's disgrace would be piled on. She knew that as soon as she started showing, the critical rumors would start flying. She would be an adulteress. And not only an adulteress, she would be an adulteress pregnant, out of wedlock, with the child of an unknown man. She knew the difficulty she would face in judgment that would be thrown down on her very heavily. Yet she resolved herself to the Lord's will for her. Why? Because she saw the joy that was greater than the pain. She saw the glory that was greater than the grief. You know, we like to think about God doing the impossible for us. It's exhilarating to think about God moving mountains, to think about God opening oceans, to think about God bringing down giants. We love to think about those kinds of things. We love the messages that are preached from those old passages, the ones you know I'm referring to. But we tend to lose some of our excitement when the realities of God's impossible paths for us start to set in and our devotion is put to the test. You know, when we come to the valleys that are impossibly impassable for us, what we really want God to do is just to defy gravity and carry us over the valley. That's how we tend to want to define Him doing the impossible. Defy gravity for us and carry us over the impossibilities. But much of the time, what God wants to do is defy the gridlock of the impossible obstacles. And taking us through them, as He overcomes them and removes them for the greater glory of all the goodness He is working out beyond them. We have to understand that when He says to us, I am working all things together for your good, He often does that when it seems like all things are at their worst. So, will we, like Mary, yield ourselves to Him and His will for us? Will we do what Peter says? And I quote Peter from 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7 now. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care on Him. Why? Because He cares about you. God was going to send His own Son, Jesus, into this world through the virgin womb of this young girl. And what did Mary do? Mary humbled herself under His mighty hand, submitting herself to His marvelous plan for the Holy Spirit to come upon her and the power of the Most High to overshadow her, knowing that in His favor for her, she could abandon all of her concerns to Him. Can you and I do the same today? Yes, we can. Do we face things that are impossible for us today? Yes, we do. And are we going to ask God to just simply get us around them? Or are we going to ask God to do a great work in taking us through them? Mary was ready to go through them. For all God wanted to do with them. Guys, this is where Christmas began. this Christmas, I want you to think about this passage for a fresh perspective on the truth of Christmas. I know this is not one of the traditional Christmas passages of Scripture, but this is clearly relevant in dealing with the birth of God's Son. In Gabriel's announcement of who he would be and how he would come. So I want you to meditate this week on this passage of Scripture. We will leave it behind after today. But you think about it this week. You think about this one that was to be born. Think about his meaningful name. Jesus. Yahweh, the Lord, is salvation. Salvation for all who will turn from their sin, who will turn from their own way and turn to him in his way. Joy to the world, the Lord has come with the message of God's saving grace. You think about his meaningful name. You share his meaningful name. Think about his magnificence as the mega one. How great he was going to be. Think about his majesty as the Son of the Most High. Think about his monarchy as the eternal ruler of God's people in his eternal kingdom. His kingdom that will have no end. May he be praised and may he be worshiped this Christmas as all he would be then, he is now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, it is a Merry Christmas because of this great, magnificent man that was to be born of a virgin, a man who was so much more than a man, the God-man, Jesus, the eternal Lord of your people. Jesus, the one embodying the message of your saving grace. Jesus, our hope and joy, not just in this Christmas season, but in all of life. Thank you for the mighty work you did in the life of this young girl, in the mighty redemptive work you were doing in the lives of all your people. We are here today, alive to God, because of what you did in the life of this young girl, and sending your Son into this world through her. Thank you for the example that is recorded forever for us in her humble submission to you. No matter what the cost that she would face, no matter how difficult it would be, she was ready to do your will for the joy that was set before her above all the pain and difficulty that would face her. I want to be like that. I confess to you that I'm often not. But may this be a day of revival for all of us in saying to each other and to you, we are the servants of the Lord. Let it be to us, let it be to me, according to your word. For your glory now and forever, in this Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And in his name we pray, amen.